to talk too long, all right? So that we can sing at the end, and every time I say that, it doesn't always work out. But I try not to take too many notes. It's on one page and not even filled the whole page. And I'll waste a bunch of time with a pointless introduction. But I like my pointless introductions. They're fun. How many of you are having Christmas hangover or food coma and all of that kind of stuff? You know, you've eaten way too much and all of that. I don't know if there's such thing. I love these things, but I would have to say I'm close to too much family, too much fun, and too much food. All right, there's three F's for you. I'm pretty close to those things. I'm like kind of ready to have my house back and kind of ready to eat a salad and ready to just sit down and do like read a book instead of, I don't know, we played Monster Jenga and lit sky lanterns and played Bunko. That was just last night, so. But for those of you who never have had too much, not too much to celebrate, I thought I would throw this out to you. There's been a latest trend to have these different days, these national holidays, or I don't know how many of them are Facebook holidays that they throw out there, but there is a record of those things. And so I just thought I'd give you some opportunities to sell. There's something for everyone here. And so I could not go through the whole calendar year because you would be really bored, but I'll go through some in January, just some immediate opportunities, and then I'll give you one for each month, all right? So in January, January 3rd, I'm pretty excited about this one. It is called the Festival of Sleep Day. Sign me up, all right? So don't call me. Don't call me on Tuesday. No. January 8th, Bubble Bath Day. Maybe you want to commemorate that one. I don't know why these are separate, but January 8th is Bubble Bath Day. January 13th is Rubber Ducky Day. So I don't know how you work that one up. Mickey, for you, January 14th is Dress Up Your Pet Day. All right, we look forward to seeing the pictures on Facebook there. I'm sure that will really take off. And this one's pretty important, January 17th, and this is awful, but it is the official National Ditch Your New Year's Resolutions Day. So you only have to make it till January 17th, and then there's a day to commemorate. And there's all kinds of days when it's reported for foods. I tried to leave all of them off, but my kids really like popcorn. So January 19th is National Popcorn Day, all right? And so we'll have to celebrate that one. I could have done the food ones all day. January 25th is National Opposite Day. I know you joke about that as a kid, but there's an official national, I don't know what it means. I do not know the record of these things and the validity of it. I'm just reading it to you, all right? National Opposite Day, so remember that, January 25th. All right, so through the month, I tried to pick a highlight one here for each month. There were some really good ones. Look them up, they're fun. February 13th, this one I think would be fun. You get a different name day. You can pick a different name for that particular day. That would be fun. I would like to name some of you. Anyway, March 9th, you only get one day this year, but March 9th is Panic Day, all right? So Panic Day, write that one down. April 7th, I'm looking forward to this one as well. No Housework Day, all right? That's a good one. March, April, May. I put two for April, sorry. April 23rd. Talk Like Shakespeare Day. That sounds fun. May 4th, you may have already known this one, but that is Star Wars Day. You get to say, May the 4th be with you. That's what you, May the 4th. Yeah, anyway, June 2nd, National Go Barefoot Day. I don't think it's a Sunday, so that'd be good. Pastor Mike has a no shirt, no shoes policy around here. So July 27th is Take Your Plants for a Walk Day, Trish. So write that one down, July 27th. Becca, this one's for you. August 17th is National Thrift Shop Day. All right, so go hit your Salvation Army and your Goodwills. September 22nd, I don't know why I picked this one, but Elephant Appreciation Day. That seems pretty important. I like my elephants. October 14th, I look around the room, see who's going to celebrate this one. I'm looking at you, Gary. It's Be Bald and Be Free Day. October 14th. No, this is awful. November 19th is Have a Bad Day Day, all right? And you only get one of them this year, and it's November 19th, all right? And December 16th, this one's for Becca and Trish, it's National Chocolate Covered Anything Day. All right, so you, in case you missed it, make sure you mark it for next year. So anyway, so there's some kind of fun, all of these different kind of days. Here's the title of the message. We're calling it the Year of My Lord. How many of you ever heard the expression when you say AD, you say in the year of our Lord? But I like to make things personal. R is a joint possession, that it is his year. But in the year of my Lord, what does it mean for it to be his year? And maybe you're done giving presents and all of those kind of things. But today I'm going to turn this into what I call the triple gifting, all right? There's like three levels of giving that go on. And it looks something like this. God gives to us. We surrender to him. And then he gives it back. I want you to think about that, and I want you to think about that in connection of this year. God has given you a new year. What does it mean to surrender that to him? And how many of you know God will give that back with his blessing? And so I wrote a really good sentence right here, so let me read it verbatim because it's pretty good. It says something like this. Here's the main idea. Take what has been given to you as yours, make it his, and watch God return it with his blessing to use for his purpose. Now, it's a simple concept. I mean, maybe your mind goes, you know, a little bit. But I want you to hear that today. Whatever God has given you, we surrender it to him, and then he returns it with his blessing for his purpose. And so what about this year? Let me give you an example. I'm going to give you two examples of it, and so you can see how it works. The first one, which you've heard before, and I'm not going to preach the whole passage. I'm just going to read this one. This is in Matthew 25, the parable of the talents. All right, and I want you to see this three levels of giving. They're going to be entrusted the talents. There's going to be a day of accounting when they give it back to him, and then there's going to be the end where he says, you've been faithful in the little, now I'm going to give you more. It comes with God's blessing in the end in return. So again, it'll be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his property to them. To one he gave 5 talents of money, to another 2 talents, and to another 1 talent, each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. The man who had received the 5 talents went at once, put his money to work, and gained 5 more. So also the one with 2 talents gained 2 more. But the man who had received the 1 talent went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. The man who had received 5 talents brought the other 5. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 5 talents. See, I have gained 5 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. And I'm not going to read the rest of the story. The 2, he gets the same words. The guy with 1, not so much. He gets reprimanded pretty bad. And you don't want to be that guy. But I want you to see that pattern. It was given to them. They gave it to the Lord by their service and by their surrender, and actually got a return on it, on the good ones. And then God in return gives his blessing and says, you've been faithful in little, now I can trust you with more, his blessing and for his purposes. Now, the passage I kind of want to work through, and once again, I'm just going to kind of read it, so bear with me. We're going to read a story out of Genesis. This is Genesis chapter 22. And it's a story of God testing Abraham with his promised son, Isaac. Because it really is an example of that same pattern of giving as we go through the story here. So let me just read it, and then we'll come back and I'll make my points, all right? 1 through 18, Genesis chapter 22. Some time later, God tested Abraham. He said to him, Abraham, here I am, he replied. Then God said, take your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love, and go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains I will tell you about. Early the next morning, Abraham got up, saddled his donkey. He took with him 2 of his servants and his son, Isaac. When he had cut enough wood for the burnt offering, he set out for the place God had told him about. On the 3rd day, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance. He said to his servant, stay here with the donkey while I and the boy go over there. We will worship and then we will come back to you. Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering, placed it on his son Isaac, and he himself carried the fire and the knife as the two of them went on together. Isaac spoke up and said to his father, Abraham, father? Yes, my son, Abraham replied. The fire and wood are here, Isaac said, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? Abraham answered, God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son. And the two of them went on together. When they reached the place God had told them about, Abraham built an altar there and arranged the wood on it. He bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then he reached out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven, Abraham, Abraham, here I am, he replied. Do not lay a hand on the boy, he said. Do not do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God, because you have not withheld me, your son, your only son. Abraham looked up, and there in the thicket he saw a ram caught by its horns. He went over and took the ram and sacrificed it as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called that place, the Lord will provide. And to this day it is said, on the mountain of the Lord it will be provided. The angel of the Lord called to Abraham from heaven a second time, and said, I swear by myself, declares the Lord, that because you have done this and have not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you and make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as the sand on the seashore. Your descendants will take possession of the cities of their enemies. And through your offspring, all nations on earth will be blessed because you have obeyed me. All right, so, that story has got so much about Jesus and about God's plan of salvation and everything that's in there, and I don't have time to do all of that, but I just want to take you through these three phases. If I called them, the first level is that it's given. Second level is it's surrendered. And then the third level is that it's returned. Okay? And I want you to think about that in light of the year of my Lord. First of all, Abraham is given a son. And I don't have time to redo the whole story, but you'll remember God promised Abraham he'd be a father of a great nation, and yet him and his wife were unable to have a child. God promised that, and the estimates are, 25 years between the promise and the fulfillment? By the time Abraham had a child, Abraham was 100 years old, and Sarah's 90 years old. They named him Isaac, which means laughter, because when Sarah heard it, she laughed, because that was ridiculous. There's no way I'm having a baby, and yet God made a way. All right, so this is the child of promise right here. This is the miracle child. Everything they'd ever wanted, everything they'd hoped for 25 years. And then the story begins with, and then God said, Abraham, take your son whom you love. Everything we have is given to us by God. Everything we have. Everything we have. He's the one who gave us life. You can go back to Genesis and see he's the one who breathed life into humankind. Everything we have is his. Ecclesiastes can be a kind of depressing book. Everything's meaningless and meaningless. But the conclusion that Solomon comes to is that God's given us this precious life, so enjoy it. And so here's in verse 18 in Ecclesiastes 5, 18 and 19. Moreover, when God gives any man wealth and possessions, enables him to enjoy them, to accept his lot and be happy in his work, this is a gift of God. That is a gift of God. Whatever he gives us. He seldom reflects on the days of his life because God keeps him occupied with gladness of heart. I like that verse there. It's like, let's not think about it too much, you know. No. Actually, Ben, for the next service, I want 17 and 18. I did it wrong, okay? It's not your fault. It's my fault. Anyway, verse 17 says the same thing that verse 18 does, is that the days of our life are given to us by God. And there's other places in Ecclesiastes where at the end of each chapter, the same conclusion comes out. Everything we've been given, it's given to us by God. And whether you have a relationship with God or not, and there's a lot of people who don't, the life that they live is a gift of God that's been given to them. The breath that they breathe, everything they have comes from God. Whether they recognize that or not. Now, the question is, I don't want to just stop at that level, but we do need to recognize and thank God for everything that he's given us and really realize that God gave it to us. And so the question is this, that you understand that God gave you this year. God gave you 2017. Now, maybe you were just holding on to the hope and the fact that Jesus was going to come back. He didn't. He still can. He still will. But for right now, we're given 2017. Here we are, January 1st. 2 Peter 3, 9. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. I always like that verse right there. You know, because sometimes we're like, come on, God, just come back. We're ready. Take us home. And yet we see his heart. There's purpose in him not coming back. And his purpose is that none should perish. And so why is there another year? That we might serve the purpose of God. You already know this, but I like to be pretty basic. Guess what? A year is made of days. He gave you a year, but he gave you every day. That day is made of hours, and guess what? Those hours are made of moments. Do you know that every moment that you've been given is given to you by God? It's a gift. Whether you knew it or not, biggest heathen out there, they've been gifted life. He is the giver of life. Now, the second level is that we would surrender that, that in the recognition that this is given to us by God, that we would give it to him. And in the story, this God says to Abraham, I want you to take your son, whom you love. That one always struck me. It's like, God, that's mean. That doesn't sound like God. And yet we know how the story ends. We know the heart of God was not to kill Isaac. But really, the test is upon us. Are we willing to recognize that everything we have is from God and give it to him in return? Like, where does God point in your life? I want you to take what you love. What is it you do with your moments? What is it you do with your breath and with your life and with your energy? Where does God point in your life that is not yet surrendered and saying, God, this is yours? Taking everything, this was the sentence, given to you as yours and make it his. And Abraham did. He gave it to the Lord. Hebrews 11, 19 says, I like how Hebrews comes back and gets us into the psyche of Abraham. It says, Abraham reasoned that God could raise the dead, and figuratively speaking, he did receive Isaac back from the dead. It's like, how could Abraham do that? And Hebrews gives us that. That was the ultimate act of trust. As he had the knife over his head, he knew who God was. He knew that God was faithful, and he knew that even though this didn't make any sense, and even though this was ridiculous and crazy, that God was faithful and he could trust him. The question is, can you trust God with your moments? Can you trust God with your life? Can you trust God with your year and make it his year? Give it to him. Romans 12:1, you knew this was going to come out on a New Year's Day. I'm pretty sure I've read this verse every New Year's Day of my life. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. That surrender, that sacrifice, all that I am, all that I've been given, every breath, every choice, every action, every word, every moment, God, it's yours. Since I threw Ecclesiastes out there, here's the last two verses of Ecclesiastes. You figure, after that long, depressing book of everything being meaningless, he comes to this conclusion, all right? Here's the conclusion that Solomon comes to. Now, all has been heard, And here's the conclusion of the matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God will bring every deed into judgment, including every hidden thing, whether it is good or evil. That will not make you, I heard some, Yeah, see, it should make you go, I'm going to be accountable for every moment. I want every moment to be his. And yet, is every moment good? I'm not talking about how we experience. I'm talking about how we live it. I'm not sure I can always fall in the good category. Can we give up our life for him? Let's face it, we love our lives, don't we? You might not say that you love your life, but everything you do is about you. It's just who we are as fallen human nature. Every once in a while we get apart from that, but that is your go-to. That is your wiring, and that's why we need renewed, and that's why we need change, and that's why we need to come to the altar, and we need to come to the Lord. Give your life for him. And then, really, the third phase is that when we've been given life, we've been given moments, we've been given a year, and given whatever, when we surrender it to him, but then God returns that back to us. And it's what we read in Hebrews, that in a way, figuratively, he received Isaac back from the dead. He received him back. I love the wording when the angel comes back, and it's a promise that was already given to Abraham, but it is reiterated, what is it, in verses 16 and 17, 17 and 18, I don't know, pick two, 16 and 17. Here's what God comes back and says, and I swear by myself, declares the Lord, because you have done this, all right, so we're talking about surrendering that which we love, because you have done this and not withheld your son. Did you know you can be a Christian and just hold on to stuff and not give it to him? There's a whole lot of unsurrendered Christians out there. Question is, I don't want to be that guy. But when we do that, here's God's word in the verse 17. Okay, I want you to see the connection. Because you have done this, in verse 17, the first three words there, here's what God says. I will, okay, it's like five words. I can't count. I will surely bless you. Because you have done this, surrendered that which you love, I will surely bless you. I mean, the return on what God has is amazing. It was in the parable of the talents. You've been faithful in little. I can make you faithful. I can entrust you with more. He blesses it in the return to be used for his purpose. Because let's remember, it was all about that promise all the way back to Genesis 12, 1 and 2, that I will bless you so that you will be a blessing. And God blesses it so that we can use it for his honor and for his glory. God will return your moments to you to be used for his purposes. You can know that. I will surely bless you. Now, I don't think God has to qualify his promises, but that's like at least an exclamation point on the end. Like, it's going to happen. I don't know. Do I have anything else important on here? He gives us this life that he given every one of us. As we give it to him, he returns it, and he gives us a life that is full of meaning, that is full of purpose. I want us to spend some time here today by us taking communion together, declaring that this is the year of my Lord. My 2017 that God's given me. That's true. God's given you, every one of you, 2017. But the question is, will you surrender it to him? And then when he gives it back, watch him bless it and watch him use it and watch him do something great. My life, my time, my days are for you. So we're going to have a time of worship. I'm going to have the worship team come up and just get us in the right. I got three songs lined up here. I had to sing my favorite. I think I sing this one every New Year's, as I Surrender All. I think it's one of my favorite hymns right there. Although I think I'm going to go